The roast of Tom Brady becomes unhinged, and the Titans add another signing to what has already been a very busy offseason. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros. So, the Titans, I'll just lead off with that. The Tennessee Titans. Holy crap, has this team been busy this offseason. And they look about as formidable as I've seen them in quite a while. Just based off, I'm not saying that this is going to be a good team. I'm not saying this is going to be a great team, solid team. Even bad team, anything like that. I'm just saying that the team that they have right now, the roster that they have, is loaded. I think there's no other way to put it. In other words, the Titans just signed Tyler Boyd. And they add to a wide receiver room that already featured DeAndre Hopkins from last offseason. They also brought in Calvin Ridley earlier on this offseason. They brought in Treylon Burks in the first round of the draft a couple of years ago. And now they have Tyler Boyd. And they also just, I know it's a downgrade from Derrick Henry going to Tony Pollard, but Tony Pollard is still a solid back. And I will die on this hill. I don't believe you need that much from the running back position. I know that Derrick Henry is arguably the best running back in the game and may or may not have been the greatest Titans running back in the their franchise history. But all I am saying is that at this day and age, that bell cow back is not going to win you the championship. So they brought in Tony Pollard, who's still a solid back. Looking further into the list of players they've brought in, it also goes into the defensive side of the ball. They brought in L'Jarius Sneed and Chidobe Awuzie for their cornerbacks. They brought in Kenneth Murray. And they also brought in two interior offensive linemen. So they already have the kid J.C. Latham they got in this past draft to play right tackle. And they have Peter Skoronski to play the other tackle position. So their offensive line looks much better. Their pass-catching core looks as good as I've ever seen it for the Tennessee Titans. They have a solid running game, and their defense, personnel-wise, looks pretty good. What I think this all comes down to is down to a couple of things. First of all, coaching. Their head coach, Mike Vrabel, is now out the door, now ex-head coach. So let's see how Brian Callahan is able to do. The former Bengals offensive coordinator. Also, this is the biggest part, Will Levis. If Will Levis is not the guy, then throw away everything I said about this team. Because the Titans, personnel-wise, if Will Levis can play, I think they have the talent to be a contender in the AFC. If Will Levis is the guy. If he's not, throw all of this away. But it's going to all come down to him. So I do think that they believe in this kid, and they're surrounding him with talent and saying, we're giving you the keys to the kingdom. Let's see what you're made of. DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, Tyler Boyd, Tony Pollard, and an offensive line that is strengthening by the year. If you can't do it with this team, then you're out. I think that's a pretty solid message for the Titans to send to their quarterback and to their coaching. And I think it's the way you want to build a team. You bring in a quarterback who you believe is the guy, and you surround him with talent, and you say, if you can do it with this, you're our guy. If you can't, then you're out. I think that's the way to do it. But CJ, what are your thoughts?
You know, when you look at this Titans team and all the additions that they have, probably you could say, oh, they can definitely contend in the AFC South. You know, they could probably keep pace with the Texans. They should be a threat to the Jags and the Colts. But it all comes down to Will Levis. There are no ifs, ands, or buts. I mean, even if he's just serviceable, they should be a threat, right? Because he didn't play all that much last year. I don't know exactly how many games he played, but he had a completion percentage of 58.4%. He had 1,808 passing yards, 8 touchdowns, 4 picks, and a passer rating of 84.2. Now, keep in mind, he was a rookie, you know, drafted in the second round, so I'm not going to be like, oh my God, he's terrible. But, you know, he did end up starting, I believe, 9 games and went 3-6 in those games. So he's not, I cannot stress enough that he's not awful. And there is no reason for him to have, you know, the dreaded sophomore slump, because you should have shaken off most of the growing pains already, because look at that. You have Tony Pollard. I mean, Grant has stepped down from Derrick Henry, but most running backs would be a step down from Derrick Henry. And Pollard is fine in his own right. You've beefed up the O-line. You have a second year of Peter Skoronski. You've signed center Lloyd Cushenberry, and you drafted blindside blocker J.C. Latham. And even more so than that, look at that wide receiver core. You have DeAndre Hopkins. You have Calvin Ridley, and you have Tyler Boyd. And not to mention, Chig Okonkwo is a pretty darn good tight end, if I do say so myself. And I know offense is one side of the ball, but once again, they beefed up the defense. You have two starting caliber corners in L'Jarius Sneed and Chidobe Awuzie. And you've got linebacker Kenneth Murray. And on top, and even more so than that, you already have homegrown pieces like Jeffrey Simmons and Harold Landry. So once again, what is stopping them? I'll tell you what's stopping them. Potentially Will Levis. We kind of like, remember we said about Caleb Williams going to Chicago, about how we're going to know right away if he can play or not, like first year?
Yep.
Same thing can be said for Will Levis. We're going to figure out real quick if he's the guy or not, because they have completely rebuilt this team. And on top of that, the only other thing is you mentioned is the coaching. You know, these first-year head coaches, you know, there's always some growing pains, but did you see what Brian Callahan had at Cincinnati? It's not, I mean, aside from, like, not having Joe Burrow, I wouldn't say this team is super, super far removed. If anything, the defense with guys like Sneed, Simmons, and Landry might even be a step up. But the point is, the Titans are getting horribly disrespected. And when you look at the Colts, right, you know, Anthony Richardson is also a big question mark. You've got guys like, Pittman, Jonathan Taylor, like they're good, but they're not going to wow you. Or maybe unless like Anthony Richardson develops really well. And then you have the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are this weird anomaly where they should be good. Like on paper, they're good, but they just don't really frighten you anymore. And that's because of that ball and chain and offensive coordinator, Press Taylor. But then there's Houston. You know, we know what there is with Houston. I mean, we know CJ Stroud. We know they beefed up. But, like, theoretically, shouldn't the Titans be able to keep pace? I think so. And I think anything less than that's a disappointment.
Yeah, we will find out very soon whether or not Will Levis is the guy. I think it'll be right away, right? But I think that's the way that you should build a team. You find out earlier on after building the team around them and you say, you know what, this guy isn't right, or wow, we did find the guy, right? I wish a team like New England would have figured that out sooner. But, I mean, I don't see a sophomore slump, but if we see more mediocre play like we saw from Will Levis, I'm sure we saw flashes that he could be potentially pretty good. But if he's just okay on this team, if he's even just meh, then I still don't think he's right. Because, yeah, if you're just playing average quarterback play, that's fine. But I think they have higher expectations from that, in that. Right, they invested a second round pick in you, and you can't really compromise at the quarterback position either. Usually, the world champions are the teams with the elite quarterback. If you don't have the elite quarterback, you're probably not winning a Super Bowl. More times than not, you don't. And even if you don't have that elite quarterback, if they do win the Super Bowl, it's because that non-elite quarterback played at an elite level, right? Like the Joe Flaccos and the Eli Mannings and the Nick Foleses of the world, right? Those guys elevated their play when it mattered most. They may not have been elite players. I guess you can make half a case for Eli Manning, but regardless, they elevated their game at times when it mattered most. I don't know if Will Levis can do that. And that's if I personally believe that you need to prove that you are the guy. Prove that you can be an elite quarterback. I don't know if Will Levis can be. I'd probably lean towards no. He'll be at best a pretty good quarterback, not a great one, just a solid one. But this is kind of the right way to build a team, is to build around them, give them their toys, and if they can't play with them, then that should give you a good enough answer on whether or not Will Levis is the guy. But I also think you raise a pretty good point about this division. It's about as talented as I've seen the AFC South probably ever. You can make a case, half a case, that any of these teams comes out on top in this division. I know that, or at least that they'll be competitive. I know that everyone's favorite pick right now is Houston, but I think we're forgetting about the other teams when we mention Houston so much, right? Jacksonville still has some good players, and they replaced Calvin Ridley with Brian Thomas in the draft, who has some pretty good hype to him. I think he's been way too much stuck in Malik Nabers' shadow, and he has some potential to be an elite wide receiver himself. On top of that, they also have Gabe Davis still. And don't forget about Christian Kirk, who's been their wide receiver one the past couple of years. The Colts, they have some good wide receivers. They have Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce, that other kid at A.D. Mitchell, who they just got in the draft, and an offensive line for the Colts that looks like it's getting a lot better, and Anthony Richardson. Right? So I get it. Like, we want to favor Houston heavily, rightfully so. But that doesn't mean we should forget about the rest of the AFC South, because it looks very, very talented this year. Whether or not they're all good is another question to be had. And it's a necessary question, because everyone wanted to say that Jacksonville Jaguars team, including myself last year, was going to be in the AFC Championship, or at least be a division winner. They didn't make the freaking playoffs. So I'm sorry when I say give the other teams a chance, because we didn't give them a chance last year, and we had a different division winner than we anticipated. So this looks like a good division, and I'm actually very excited to see it.
Adam, I do want to say one thing, though, about Will Levis.
Sure.
I'd give him 2 years, personally. If he's not going to be I don't think he's going to be a world beater this year, at least not out of the gate. Maybe we'll see more flashes later down the line, but I would say towards the end of not this coming season, but the season after next is probably going to be where you would maybe start to see the actual full potential there. So if he can't play this year, I definitely think give it another year.
I would definitely say at the very most, after this year, maybe one more after that, because I guess the criteria that I've held is definitely 3 years. That's what we gave for Justin Fields. That's what we gave for Jalen Hurts. That's what we gave for Josh Allen. We gave that to Mac Jones. I think it's fair to be consistent, but still, this feels a little different, because you added a lot more talent in year two. I don't think Jalen Hurts had that necessary.
He's only started 9 games.
I don't think Jalen Hurts had that necessary talent to succeed right away in year two, and neither did Josh Allen. And Mac Jones never got it, by the way. Mm. But I think the expectations are just a little bit different, just because you already had all of that. You have all of this talent for him. And yeah, I guess you could give him another year after that, but then DeAndre Hopkins
pick. So I'm
DeAndre Hopkins
be holding my breath.
Also, DeAndre Hopkins is older now, right? Hopkins is older. It's not like we're expecting him to be good 2 years from now. We're expecting production. We're hoping for production right now. So you take it year by year, and every year you get out of him is a blessing once you're north of 30. Or south of 30, whichever direction. I'm mixing it up here. But the targets they did sign, they are on the older side. So you don't have forever for Will Levis to prove to you that he's the guy. So that's an important thing to remember. But I did want to move on. We're going to get to the roast of Tom Brady. Just some of the stuff that they pulled out, because holy crap, was this unhinged. Anything that just went public about this dynasty, just anything about the history of it. There's been a lot of stuff that's come out. The man in the arena, the dynasty, a lot of different stuff. That Aaron Hernandez documentary, nothing as unhinged as this. And I kind of liked it. That's next. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast. It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski podcast by Power 88 Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Adam Wright with CJ Medeiros. So the roast of Tom Brady, this was interesting. And it feels like they did this in the way that you should do a roast. Because when you're trying to do a roast as entertainment, you want it to push the envelope a little bit. This did much more than that. But that's kind of a good thing, right? If you're making jokes and it's all just PG humor, no one's going to laugh at it. And the fact that just everything was on the table, from Aaron Hernandez to Giselle to Tom Brady losing to Eli Manning twice to Peyton Manning being in Tom Brady's shadow, all of it was on the table. And it was pretty star-studded with guests, particularly within the athletes. Tom Brady, Drew Bledsoe, Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski, Randy Moss, Matt Light, Bill Belichick was even there. Robert Kraft was in attendance. Peyton Manning was there. We had a star-studded attendance. And these jokes were actually unhinged. But what did you think about it, CJ?
Man, I loved it. I did. You know, Bill Belichick had to be one of my favorite guests there, just because, you know, we all know him as buttoned up and cold towards the media. But us Patriots fans, we know he has a wicked sense of humor, and that came out on full display. And one of my favorite parts was where he took a jab at the Patriots docuseries. He says, oh, this is the roast of Tom Brady, not to be confused with the 10-part roast of Bill Belichick. Well, yeah, ain't that the truth? And Randy Moss saying, you know, why didn't you cheat when I was here? That was also funny. And Tom Brady, who said, heck, the league spent the league spent $20 million to try to frame him for Deflategate. And Brady just said, shoot, I would just tell you whatever you wanted to hear if you gave me $20 million.
Yeah.
Wow, beautiful.
And I think my favorite one was this one that Julian Edelman made. And we'll get to this point in a second. But he said, a lot of people are wondering how big Gronk's dick is.
Pause.
And he goes, yeah. I forget what his answer was there, but then he goes, well, there was this other Patriots tight end who was hung. And I was like, holy crap, you're actually able to say that.
Yeah.
And it was so refreshing. It feels like the world's just gotten so sensitive. And
yeah,
just
there is one thing, though.
Some of the jokes there. Yeah. And I'll get to the point where it got a little, where some people in the Twitter sphere got a little, or X, whatever the hell it's called nowadays, said, I'll get to it now. Aaron Hernandez's ex-fiance was not very happy about the amount of Aaron Hernandez jokes that came out. and how really bad they were, I'll say. They're unhinged, but again, that's kind of what it's about. And the point has been, the counterpoint to that has been, mm-hmm. well, it's the roast of Tom Brady. But I feel like if we're staying right on that one topic of just Tom Brady, the amount of people in attendance, especially like it's, you had Peyton Manning there, you had Bill Belichick there, Rob Gronkowski there, Julian Edelman. I feel like you don't need to just touch on that one person. You know what I mean? Like I get that you can say, well, it's the roast of Tom Brady, not Aaron Hernandez, the dead guy. Well, he did murder people. That's, you know, that's something you can't really ignore.
Yeah, you can't. And here's the thing, right, with that is, you know, I saw, you know, Aaron Hernandez is like, was a, his fiance or whatever saying, hey, I have a kid and, you know, it sucks that, you know, that, or like that they're doing this because I don't want to raise my children in such a cruel world. To which I say, yeah, those jokes were cruel. Do you want to know what's even crueler? Aaron Hernandez killing people.
Yeah.
And then it's like, my children. No. You know, the Odin Lloyd, the man Aaron Hernandez killed, was a child of someone as well. So, like, lady, you do not get to talk. You don't. And I'm going to, and I just said why. But it's like, oh, it sucks they're making jokes about him killing people. It's like, yeah, it does suck. I mean, not as much as, you know, him killing people, but it sucks. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure, I'm sure Odin Lloyd's family is so torn for you. I'm fairly certain. Also, if I recall correctly, it's just, hold on, I'm sorry. Can you keep going? Because I want to, before I say something, I want to make sure I have my facts in order because there sure. is something that's got to be said.
Yeah. So another good one I liked was, it was, so Kevin Hart was also in attendance. Among celebrities, you had Ben Affleck was there. Will Ferrell was there as Ron Burgundy. Kim Kardashian was there. I don't know why she was there. I don't care about what she needs to, has to say. Kevin Hart was there. Jeff Ross. That was another interesting one. Jeff Ross. He brought up a joke about. So we've mentioned during this segment, everything was on the table. Seems like Robert Kraft. So Jeff Ross brought up a joke about Tom Brady wanting a massage from Robert Kraft. Bringing up the quote, I'm the best decision this organization's ever had. It was funny. Here's what Tom Brady did. He walked up onto the stage. He whispered in his ear, and we heard him through the microphone because he was right there. He said, don't say that shit again. It's all on the table. Swear words. Just don't go too crazy. This is the roast of Tom Brady. We can do that on this episode of the Fumble Rooski podcast. Amen. But, he said, don't say that shit again. There were some pretty nasty things said. It's, again, we're not against, but it feels like that was there. It just tells me that the relationship between Tom Brady and Robert Kraft is alive and well. And the relationship between Brady and Belichick, it seems to be still damaged, but it looks like, from what, I mean, the fact that they were still in the same room together and, you know, they were joking back and forth. It seems like that one's repairing, but it looks like that's a sensitive topic that I'm not going to say that they shouldn't tackle it because, again, everything else was on the table. You can't just pick and choose. It's the roast of Tom Brady. Once you invite people to roast you, anything goes. So that part was a little like everything else was okay. They brought up a ton of shit about your wife. Like a ton of stuff. I was like, holy crap. If that were me, I don't know if I'd be able to deal with that.
Yeah. Also, but the
about Alex your friend in a who too. Is. But you but someone brings up a joke about your friend who actively involved himself in child trafficking and in sex trafficking. and you're going to go and say, yeah, don't say that. Dude, Kevin Hart just talked about how your karate teacher slept with your wife. That part was interesting. But what were you going to say, CJ?
So there's one more thing that I do want to touch on with Aaron Hernandez's fiance there, or ex-fiance now. Now, the man Aaron Hernandez killed, Odin Lloyd, was actually dating Hernandez's fiance's sister. Did you know that? And you have the unmitigated audacity of Aaron Hernandez's ex to be like, oh my God, this is so mean. It's like, he murdered your sister's boyfriend. Lady, children in a cruel world or not, get your priorities right. And if your feelings are that hurt, do us all a favor and delete social media, because those jokes were very funny.
They were hilarious. I mean,
they were some of the best jokes. They were.
They were also, I'm sorry, you keep going.
And Nikki Glaser, the comedian who said, you know, who was talking to, I think it was Randy Moss, who said, why don't you have a ring? Even Drew Bledsoe has a ring. And Aaron Hernandez had a ring around his neck. And then you see, funny, right? But then you got hurt. It's like, I don't get the outrage. I mean, I do, but I also don't, because he killed your sister's boyfriend. Like, come on. I mean, she seems to have conveniently forgotten that. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to go through on Ghetto Gronk, because Ghetto Gronk did it. You guys know Ghetto Gronk. They're
just say it just in case.
MLB page. They're the meme page. NFL meme page. They just hit 1 million followers, by the way. But they posted a bunch of these. I'm just going to go through a couple of these. Just because I feel like talking about him just doesn't do it justice. All right, here's the.
You gotta do to maintain your happiness. You understand?
Wait, is this copyrighted?
You gotta fuck your coach. You know who else fucked their coach? Giselle. She fucked that karate man. No. I mean, Jesus Christ, Tom. One of the smartest quarterbacks ever played the game. How did you not see this coming? 8 fucking karate classes a day. 8 karate classes.
So yeah, like I said, the shots about Giselle were actually unhinged. Like it was bad. It was really bad. And like I said, I feel like it, like me personally, I would feel a lot more emotionally disturbed if I were roasted about Robert Kraft, about my ex-wife than Robert Kraft. One's your friend who did something stupid. The other is your ex-wife. I mean, somebody who you thought you were going to spend the rest of your life with. So like, I don't know. There, he probably has his reasons behind it. I respect it. It's fine. But I just thought that was interesting, right? Everything else was on the table except that one piece. A part that, rightfully so, Robert Kraft was involved in. Like, you can't just dispute the fact that, you know, he was involved in that scandal and he messed up. So I feel like that should be on the table. That's just me. Tom Brady disagreed, which is fine. What's that look for?
No, sorry. I was just reading more about the thing about his wife whining. It's like, I'm sorry. That's just one thing that I've just been fixated on, because just the lack of awareness is truly rich to me. But yeah, I mean, I don't get why, you know, we can't make jokes about Kraft, but you know, the wife thing's okay. I mean, I, much like you, if I were in Brady's shoes, I'd have that flip-flopped, because yes, Tom Brady's ex-wife, Giselle, is a cheating individual, for words that I can't say on air, and is a person of, we'll call it, questionable moral character.
I mean, we don't know for sure if they cheated, if she cheated, but
it's more fun to assume they did. By the way, folks, I'm not saying that I know, but we're operating on the assumption here. So I'm just saying we don't know for sure, so you can't sue me for slander. And but I'm just I don't get why you know why that's a-okay, but you know, God forbid we mention Robert Kraft. I mean, that's funny. I mean, heck, we Patriots fans like to laugh about it. Adam, wasn't the name of your fantasy football team like Kraft's Rub and Tug or something like that?
I will not confirm or deny, but yes.
So, I don't know. I guess I don't get it either, but it was funny nonetheless.
Yeah. I don't know how I found it, but for a profile pic for that team, a team logo, I have a picture of Robert Kraft sticking his tongue out. I still don't even remember how I found it, but I'm pretty sure I still have the team. It's the same team that same league I've been in for like 5 years. So pretty much ever since. Here's the Robert Kraft joke here.
Your organization has ever made. Would you like a massage?
So here he gets up, walks over. Do you hear that? And again, you can see he whispers in his ear.
Would you like a massage?
Oh, geez.
I love Robert Kraft. I love it again. Okay.
So everything else was on the table there. You could clearly see he whispered in his ear. And obviously it picked it up on the mic because, I mean, the mic is right there. And he didn't really whisper. I mean, he just put his hand there and then just spoke in regular noise. He said, don't say that shit again. And, like, again, I respect if that's what – that's where he draws the line, that's fine, you know. And he didn't – I don't feel like he didn't slap anybody. No names, Will Smith. But – it's an interesting line to draw. I think that's all I will say. I respect it. If that's his boundary, then that's fine. I just thought it was interesting. There was a lot of other stuff he let go. But that? Something that we know actually happened? That part's interesting.
I still think it should have been on the table regardless, because that's the beauty of a roast.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they push the envelope, which is the way a roast should go. But then they turned around and then on that one thing, he recoiled and said, you know what? Never mind. Don't say that. Yeah. Oh, this one's interesting. Here's Tom Brady roasting Bill Belichick about that one ring, the ring mailbox or the doorbell that shows the video. And it shows Bill Belichick shirtless outside of some girl's house. This was funny.
Everybody asked me which ring is my favorite. I used to say the next one. But now that I'm retired, my favorite ring is the camera that caught Coach Belichick slinking out of that poor girl's house at 6 a.m. a few months ago. Hey, you still got it.
Okay, my favorite part about that is, and about this entire night, is that you can see every single time that Bill Belichick is roasted, and maybe this is partially because he doesn't really have much leverage anymore. He doesn't have a job, but he was a pretty good sport about pretty much every roast that was thrown at him.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And I think they were, besides that one, for everybody, I think besides that one little hiccup where Brady had to whisper in his ear not to say that again, everyone was pretty good about everything. It seemed like it was a good night for everybody. Everyone was enjoying themselves. Everybody was laughing. There were some pretty good roasts. But genuinely, I thought that was probably the best content I've seen from that former cast of Patriots greats. And they put out some good stuff. Besides the Dynasty. That thing is garbage. That thing is dog water. Yeah. You know, we could have covered that topic as a topic on the show, but I feel like everyone feels the same way. It's so disgustingly biased. And I get how we feel about Bill Belichick right now, but we can't really throw out everything that was said
that everything that Bill Belichick has done just because Brady was able to do it without him and Belichick wasn't towards the end of his career, right? Yeah. I get it. Like, Brady is able to hold his own. He proved that. But it doesn't mean Belichick necessarily can't.
Yeah, especially I know that's an unpopular super team, and we all forget
I know that's an unpopular opinion now, but I don't think Belichick is a particularly good GM. I think he's very good on the defensive side of the ball. He can't do it on offense. But once he has that personnel, I think he's pretty good. And if he just had that one job offer this offseason from a team that has an elite quarterback with a good offense, I think he would thrive there. I think he would have done well as the Chargers head coach. Only problem is he was asking to be general manager too. And I don't think that was a good idea. I think you have to bring somebody else in. And I think he's in that point of his life where he doesn't want anyone else telling him what to do. That's just the problem. When you get that old, you start becoming more stubborn and you stop listening to other people, especially when those people are younger than you. You've been on this earth longer than them. Doesn't necessarily mean you know better than them, which age does not equal maturity. I don't think it means intelligence either.
No,
you're going to start feeling that way.
Yeah. And honestly, that you could also say happens to Robert Kraft. You know what I mean? Because apparently he's been pretty controlling this offseason. I mean, that's what we hear. Maybe all sides were wrong. That's just something we don't talk about. I mean, it transcends age, does it not? I mean, if you're like 80-something, you're not going to listen to a 50-something-year-old. Or maybe if you're 25, you're going to magically think you're superior to people that are like 21. You know, like, I just feel like it's a both sides thing.
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of, I think that's the way it worked out with Bill Belichick. And as for Tom Brady winning with a super team, I get it. They had a lot of good talent there.
Yeah. I mean, I know you don't think it's a super team, but the roster literally disagrees. And with all due respect, I don't feel the urge to debate this like now.
Sure. I just want to say my piece because you said yours on it.
Understandable.
That team didn't make the playoffs since 2008, and they weren't in the Super Bowl since 2002.
Okay.
So that's just something to consider. And their discipline level was atrocious. And it did bring that team down several times, not only in 2020, but also in 21. And I think it's part of what sunk the team in 21, where they probably should have went back-to-back. Yes, they had the talent, but you can only do so much when you don't have the quarterback. I think it's that simple. And I also think you can't just have any quarterback back over there to bring him into a new team with a new quarterback, with a new head coach, new style, who actually opens the playbook for you, unlike Bill Belichick, and win a Super Bowl in your first year there. That's very hard to do. And you can't do that with any elite quarterback. I think the only other quarterback I can name who could possibly do that is Patrick Mahomes. I think he's the only one who can do that right now. Peyton Manning can't do it because we've already seen him try to do it. And it took him 3 years in Denver to finally get over the hump. Although, respect to Peyton Manning, he's one of the all-time greats. He did in Denver hold the all-time single season touchdown record with 55. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying he couldn't win a Super Bowl in his first year there. That's all. Brady did. Manning didn't.
And that's why Brady is just that much better.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, yeah, it was a great team, but I don't think that takes away from the fact that it's incredibly hard to win a Super Bowl in your first year with a new team, a team with a losing culture, right? They've had this talent for a few years and they did nothing with it. So that's an important thing to remember. All right. I think that's pretty much it. Pretty light day on our scheduled content, but do you have anything else before we end the show tonight?
No, all I'm going to say is if you didn't watch the roast of Tom Brady, you should. Because originally I didn't want to, I didn't feel any desire to, but I'm glad I did. It was very funny.
Yeah. A lot of the content today, the football content is kind of boring, but this was pretty good. I think this and Man in the Arena were some of the best post-Patriots dynasty content I've ever seen.
Oh yeah.
So it's pretty good. Definitely check it out. If you're easily offended, maybe don't, but
If you like some of the edgy humor, then definitely check it out. All right. Well, that'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for listening to us. We have new episodes out on Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and Fridays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Also, be sure to follow our Instagram at FumbleRooski_podcast and our TikTok at FumbleRooskiPod to keep up with our podcast and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Over and out.